Good morning.
Every day, but I'm watching while I pray. No matter.
Because we definitely need to know that we are not giving up anything. And in order for us to keep what God has given us, what he's blessing us with, we have to go into battle. This means war. We're not giving up our families. We're not giving up our blessings. We're definitely not giving up our breakthroughs. And this is a season where God is pouring them out. You just have to be in a position to receive it and apply it. Good morning to our international listeners. Good morning to the listeners in the United States of America, all of the cities around this world. We say good morning to you. Good morning to our ADM family. We miss you all. We love you all. And guess what? We have not stopped praying for anyone. So we just want you all to come back on in this morning, just giving God his praise, just thanking him for allowing us to meet again on this broadcast line, which is such a blessing to so many of us. It's such a blessing, a tool that God has given for us to be a helpmate to others. Even though we don't see you in the natural, just know we are here with you in the spiritual. Let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come this morning with open arms, Father God, just thanking you, Lord Jesus, for who you are and for whose we are, Father. Thanking you, Lord, that you woke us up another day, Lord Jesus, to give us a new beginning, Father. Yes, Lord, a new beginning. And we thank you, Father God, that we're not where we were yesterday, Father God, that we are in a new place on today, Father. And we just thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Father, that we have a new mindset. We thank you, Lord, that you've created in us a clean heart, Father God. We thank you, Lord, that you've given us a spirit of forgiveness, Lord Jesus, a spirit of thankfulness, Lord, a spirit of peace, Father God, a spirit of hope, Lord Jesus, a spirit of expectation, Lord Jesus, a spirit of prosperity, Lord Jesus. We thank you for that. We thank you for never leaving us nor forsaking us. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for just allowing us to move on, but most of all, to recognize that we're not moving by ourselves, Lord Jesus. We recognize that you are in the forefront and we just following, Lord Jesus. And we thank you. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you for all the things that it does for us. The leadership, we thank you, Lord Jesus. The protection, we thank you, Lord Jesus. Through hardship, through pain, you still is a comforter, Father God. And we just thank you on this morning, Lord. And Father, as we come before you this morning, Lord, we ask you for us to decrease, Lord Jesus, and for you, your Holy Spirit, to increase. For us to take the eye out of it, Father God, and allow you, the Holy Spirit, to be our guide. And we just bless your holy name on this morning, and we say yes and amen because we know that you are worthy to be praised. We know that your word does not come back void, and we are just thankful for that. And Lord, for those that were not able to get on the line this morning, Father God, we ask you, Lord, to continue to just be with them throughout the day. Allow them to recognize who you are and to help them through their journey on this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So where the Holy Spirit led me was actually before day this morning. A couple of nights ago, Apostle Temple said, let's pray. Let's continue to pray. And this morning, it kind of, like 1 a.m., it really kind of hit me that it is an urgency for us to pray, but not just pray for ourselves, but to pray for others, for us to be there to help others get through. You know, we know our relationship with God. We know the prayers that we've already thrown up to God. If we're trusting him and believing him and really knowing who he is, the words we say he's able to do things exceedingly and abundantly, then we don't have to continue to keep worrying about self. We have to spread out, reach out, sharing is caring, reach out and touch somebody else. And, of course, we can't touch you in the natural, but we definitely can touch you in the spiritual. And if you're sitting and you're listening to God or just allowing the Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you, he's going to place on your heart what you need to pray or where you need to be. And then sometimes you may not even be able to pray. You may just have to put a moan out. So what we're going to be speaking about today is intercessory prayer. And I want to say this to you, how important it is. Even when Job was going through what he went through, and you can go back and read it. It's at the ending of Job. God told Job to pray for his friends, the friends that were not giving him the answers that God was expecting them. They left God out of the situation by letting him, knowing what God can do and knowing what the things they were saying to Job was more so judgmental, as if he had did something, and God wasn't pleased with that. So before Job received his blessings, God told him to pray for his friends. Pray for the ones that was sort of putting him down. Pray to the ones that was judging him wrong or making him feel like that he had done something wrong, but when he already knew his relationship with God. So Job had to pray for his friends in order for him to receive his blessings. And we need to know that that's intercession. That's an intercessory prayer that he's praying. He prayed for somebody else. When Peter was in jail, when Stephen was stoned and the other disciples, it was seven of them, had went out to spread the word of God, Peter was in jail, and Peter, the people, the congregation, had to set up at a house, and they was there praying for Peter when the angel came and led him out. When he got to the door, Rhoda couldn't even talk to Peter, couldn't even let him in, because she just knew that he was going to die like the rest of them. But see, them intercessory prayers, this is just something when you know that somebody is praying for you. Yes, that was in the old, but I know without a shadow of a doubt that I have some faithful people praying for me. I have some faithful people that's praying my strength, that's praying my health, that's praying for me to succeed in the things that we do. And that's called intercessory. And that's what we're going to speak on today. Turning it over to you, sister.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. I am smiling with tears in my eyes because this subject is near and dear to our hearts. When I say our hearts, I'm talking about my sister Nita and myself. We love intercessory prayer, because what happens is we see God moving. And that's what we want to go into today, because this is another element of sharpening those swords. We're getting our swords out again, y'all. Y'all know I'm good for saying that. But we sharpening swords this morning, because intercessory prayer is actually wielding that sword, using God's word and praying for people, praying for others. And I just want to thank God for giving us this opportunity to come on the line, because I know we've been having difficulties in the past, but we're together today. Good morning, saints. This means war, because guess what? That song wasn't by chance or coincidence. That song was letting us know we got to get up, rise up, and get our swords out, because we have work to do. So good morning. I love you, and let's go into it. We're talking about intercession. And in intercession, I want to start out by talking about the definition. Now, the definition of intercession is an action of intervening on behalf of another. And it also says action of praying, a prayer on behalf of another person. Now, I got to give homage to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because he was the ultimate intercessor. He was the ultimate intercessor, and he interceded for us so much that he gave his life for us, and he redeemed our souls. So that's number one. He's the number one, and because we're Christians and we are growing to be like our Father, we are going to use the example that Christ gave the world, because he showed us how to do that thing. I mean, when I tell you he was the ultimate interceder, he not only prayed it, but he lived it for us. So let's go into that with let's go into intercession with that mindset that we are doing just as our Father taught us to do through Christ. Okay? Now, when we talk about intercession, we're talking about praying for others, not necessarily praying for ourselves, but praying for others. And with that mindset, we are actually being about God's business. We are actually going into a mindset that we are warring in the spirit, using the word of God in prayer, and we're doing so for others in the world, also in the world, not just in Christhood. Now, because of that, that's how we're going to pray people into finding out who Christ is and receiving him as their Lord and Savior. And as we do this, we become more of a spiritual leader. We actually start loving God's people more and more, to the point where we feel obligated. We have this desire in our heart to stand in the gap, to reach out and just pull down the blessings that God has for his people that have no ability or may not be able to pray the blessings upon themselves. So because we love God's people so much, we take it serious when we do intercessory prayer. We are praying and we're asking God for something that is selfless, because it has nothing to do with us. It's all about others. It's all about our brothers and sisters. It's all about our saints that we know about. And then we also have to take into account that how social media may be bad in some ways, but it's also an opportunity for you to see someone's situation or to see something going on in the world. And we are able to actually petition God about it, go to God and ask God to intervene on that thing. And that may be praying for someone who is a complete stranger, but because of social media, we have an idea of what they're going through, and our hearts may leap and go out to them, and we'll be able to actually pray for people around the world. So this is a global thing. The body of Christ is called to pray. But I must mention that we have a spiritual gift, and it's the gift of intercession, and that is in Corinthians. But I just want to touch on the fact that we're all called to pray, and you just don't have to have that spiritual gift of intercession to pray for others. Now, with that being said, I also want to bring up a scripture that says the effective, fervent prayers of a righteous man availeth much. Now, that's a powerful prayer. because that means that the saints are going to be able to do some things warring in the spirit when they intercede for our people. But not just our people. We're talking about the nations of the world. We're talking about our country. We're talking about our communities. We're talking about our families. We're talking about our children. We're talking about our loved ones and friends. So the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That says a lot now, because it does speak on a righteous man. So a state of being means that you're upright before God, and it's going to be a lot more effective if you're righteous in your prayers. I'm not saying that your prayers won't be answered when you're in the scene, but just imagine how much more effective it is the closer we get to God and the more righteous we live, the more powerful prayers we pray out. And as a community, as the body of Christ, we are called to pray for the world as well, not just our body, but we're called to pray for the world. And on a global standpoint, we're going to be able to actually pull in unbelievers into the body of Christ so that God's kingdom, his people, our numbers will grow. Well, with that being said, I'm going to go into a scripture that he actually gave Ezekiel, and that's going to be in Ezekiel 22 and 30. In Ezekiel 22 and 30, it says, God is talking to Ezekiel, and he says, I look for someone who might rebuild the wall of righteousness that guards the land. I search for someone to stand in the gap in the wall so I wouldn't have to destroy the land, but I found no one. And this is God's mindset on what he really wanted for us. He wanted our people to have people to rise up and cry out to him on behalf of the people that were in Israel at the time. And because God wants these people to do this, this is the pattern of what intercessory prayer is about. Now listen, God will actually ask us to pray to him so that he can activate that we have coming, but they haven't been asked for. And there's a protocol there. There's a reason why he did this, because we have to be in tune with his spirit so that we will pray his will. And in doing so, we are going to have to actually know what God wants and ask him to reveal to us what we are to pray. And when we do pray this prayer, we'll be praying what God wants, and it'll be a prayer that God will immediately, definitely, unconditionally answer, because he gave it to us in spirit. And when he gave us that prayer in spirit, it was his will. So because he wants Israel to have people, you know, stand up and cry out to him on behalf of Israel, that's what he was letting Ezekiel know. And he's doing that today. He wants us to do that today as saints, as followers of Christ. We are called to pray for others, even if they can pray for themselves. But what about the ones that have no idea of the situation they're in, and they haven't made it into the fold? They haven't made it into being saved yet. They haven't received Christ. Well, see, that's the kind of prayers that mothers pray for their children, that fathers pray for their children. That intercessory prayer is a prayer that's going to bring someone that hasn't quite made it, that hasn't quite got that connection with God and Savior, and that was going to be the one thing that might hold up whatever wrath that might be coming toward them until God can get through to them and pull them in. And see, we're going to stand in the gap with our intercession on that level. And not just parents interceding for their children. That is one of the most powerful prayers, because that prayer is definitely prayed from the heart, but also prayers for our communities, our loved ones, our friends. Like I said, people on social media that you might see or read a post about or whatever, or hear about an incident around the world where a horrible accident happened. But just know that intercession goes around the world, not just at home. Okay, I'm going to move on, and I just want to talk about how we have to have a kind of understanding on how we can move in the direction of intercession, intercessory prayer by interceding. So first and foremost, we must grow in a friendship with God. Because, see, when we're calling 911 and we're interceding and we're asking God to do these things and we're crying out for his people, whomever we're praying about, we have to have that relationship already established to call in and say, oh, Father, guess what? We need you down here today. We need you because so-and-so is going through. They're going into surgery, or they're battling an illness, or they're facing some things that they shouldn't be praying about on their own. And so as a body of Christ, we are called to pray and war in the spirit as a community, as one. If one is going on, if something is going on with one, it's going on with all of us. So when we pray for our loved ones, when we pray for the body or whomever we're interceding from, we're praying prayers that we would want pray for ourselves. So when I pray, if I hear anything going on, one of the key things is, what would I want someone to pray for me about? How would I want someone to pray on my situation? So I pray on that situation as if I'm praying for my own child or my own mother or my own brother, you know, or my own sister. And that gives me another dimension, another perspective of why I'm praying, because I'm not just praying for a stranger around the world or somebody in the church. I'm praying for somebody I truly love in Christ because they are my people. They are my brothers and sisters. So, saints, we got to change our perspective and not look at it as we're praying for strangers, but we're praying for people we love, because that agape love that we should have for them as brothers and sisters in Christ, and even unbelievers, because, you know, sometimes we got to pray for our enemies. We have to have that perspective of we're praying a prayer and we're crying out to God for someone whom he loves, but we love as well. So I'm going to move on and talk about how that relationship with God has to be existing. It already has to be intact. We already have to build, and we have to develop that relationship with him, so when we cry out to him, he will hear us. And if he hears us, he's going to hear what's in our hearts. So our hearts have to align with him, and our prayers have to be fervent. We don't have the ability to just speak it. We have to have the heart fervent prayer that we have in our hearts to send it out. Like my sister said, some prayers may not even be words. It may be a groan in your spirit. It may be a groan deep down in your spirit, and the Holy Spirit will recognize it. Secondly, we have to actually remind ourselves that we are to grow in our knowledge of God's word. So when we are trying to be effective prayers and interceders, we are going to have a knowledge of what the word is. That's why we sharpen our sword. That's why we go in the morning and we bring up scriptures, and then we expound on those scriptures, because, see, we're sharpening our swords, because when you are able to intercede, it's awesome. It is a great thing. It is important that we use scripture as the foundation of our prayers, because we'll be able to actually say, Father, you said in scripture so-and-so that this will be, and we're claiming that because you said so. And when we do that effective praying where we incorporate his word into our prayer, we already got it going in the right direction. First and foremost, we had a relationship. Remember that part. But we also are actually praying scripturally what we are asking for. We know what the problem is. And then sometimes you may not know what the problem is when you intercede. But guess what? God will let the Holy Spirit drop that knowledge on us. So that knowledge may be the knowledge of God's word by us reading the word, or divine intervention where he is giving us a knowing or understanding, or just moving our spirit or our spirit man to pray out and to cry out and cover these people, stand in the gap. And that stand in the gap is a powerful thing. But see, that means that when we are weak, he is strong, and that gap that we're filling in is going to be filled in. There's no doubt there. There's no
you know, there's no way of letting the enemy slip in on that thing, because we know that we're working in God's order. We're working in the order of what God would have us to work in. And see, what happens is we're living God's word, and we're activating God's word when we incorporate that scripture in there. So that's why it's important to know the word as well as have that relationship with God. Because, see, if you don't have the word that goes with it, he'll put it in your spirit. And that is something that happens every day, saints. If you're new in Christ and you don't understand what we're talking about, I'm here to tell you, the veteran saints know that God will put something in your spirit that you had no clue of what you're talking about. But that prayer will flow out of your mouth, and there you have it. You have actually spoken of intercessory prayer in a prophetic form. So moving on, and it says we have to, first and foremost, grow in your ability to be still and listen to God. And that's where his Holy Spirit will actually give you an understanding on what that knowledge is that you might not have on that person's situation or whatever you're praying on globally or in the community or in the church. So when you get before God and you listen and be still, that's when the Holy Spirit imparts that understanding, that knowing, that wisdom. Remember last week's subject, wisdom? That's how we get wisdom imparted. And when we get that wisdom imparted, that knowledge, we'll have understanding, because we were once still. One, we were still before God because we have a relationship with him. And two, we'll be able to incorporate and activate or act on that word that we had in scripture. Or, because you know God works with us in spirit and truth, so he's going to give us divine revelation, or he's going to actually give us an understanding on what we're praying so that we become effective intercessive prayers. Our intercessions will be divine and covered, and sometimes you will be praying and you will not even know that that person had something going on, and it'll just fly out your mouth in God's Holy Spirit when he's leading you in your prayer. You will be speaking on things that God knew of that you had no clue of. And that happens very often, saints. And it also happens that we'll be praying, and we'll pray of someone that we have no idea who it is, but we know that God has called us to pray for that person. And when he moves on our spirit and we pray for that person, we are doing that because we are listening to his Holy Spirit. And when we listen and we be still, we'll be able to get an accurate understanding of what is being said in our spirit so that we can pray it out of our mouth. And when we pray it out of our mouth, we're activating, we're active on what God has given us, that we're not standing still, and that we're totally aligned with the Holy Spirit. And it's good that when we begin to pray, that we start off with a moment of silence. That's another effective way of beginning an intercessory prayer, a moment of silence, and just asking God to just speak to your spirit in spirit and truth. And that moment of silence may open up a gap in there so that you won't just begin to start babbling out what you think this prayer should be, but what God wants the prayer to be. Inviting God in, and you're giving him an opportunity, you're inviting the Holy Spirit in, and you're giving him the opportunity to come into your presence. And if you're praying alone in your intercession, you want to be able to hear what God is saying by just being silent and still. And then also if you're praying in a group situation, you want to have the ability to actually just, you know, be able to pray out loud, but don't rush into it. Be able to pray out loud and don't be, you know, embarrassed. And when the Spirit moves you to pray and you begin to pray, also envision in your mind what we're asking God or what God has given us. Have that visual aspect of what you're praying. It works for me because if I see someone battling a spirit of cancer or whatever, a disease or whatever the case may be, I see that person wielding a sword. Me and that person is wielding a sword. And if they fall and they can't stand up on their feet in that fight against cancer, and cancer is like a monster or a dark image, and me and that person, we're wielding that sword and we're stabbing it and we're jugging that sword. We're going to battle. and that means war. But see, that's when we're doing individual intercessory prayer. But when we band together and we group intercessory prayer, and that's a more powerful thing, because now there are many in numbers doing that act. So now it's many of us wielding swords, and the enemy has to flee. The enemy has to flee because God said so. And that's where we're going as a body. We have to band together. We have to have like minds, that all of us have the desire to pray for everyone, the desire to pray for our enemy, to pray for others that may not even be saved, that may not have the belief in Christ. But that's okay, because God had a plan for them, because he put that person in our spirit or in our path that we may pray for them, that we will pray them in. And not only that, when they get in, they stay in. And while they're in here, we cover each other's back. That's what intercession is about. We're saints praying for others, because like my sister said, she knows people are praying for her, and she don't even have to know who it is, because that's what God does. He dispatches the body to pray for the other part. The hands is praying for the feet. The feet is praying for the arms. The arms are praying for the legs. The neck is praying for all of us. And who is the neck in the body when we do this imagery of what the body of Christ is? The head is Apostle Temple. Apostle Temple Spencer he's the neck. The head is Christ. He's the neck. And everything down below it is the rest of the body. So he's already doing a majority of that praying, but he's organized the rest of the body part, positioned them in ministry, that we are going to cover all aspects. All aspects of the body is being covered, from the neck down to the fingertips, down the arm to the fingertips, down the body torso, into the legs, into the toes of the feet. So the body is being covered. Even though you may be a toe or a finger, you're being covered by the arms and legs and a neck, and even more so, the head, who is Christ. So all of this works in God's order. God put this thing together, and it is divine. It works. It is not. There is nothing that we can't pray over, that we can't cover, because God has given us the authority to, and he said in our weakness, he is strong. So whatever we ask for, where it says where two or more are gathered in his name, I'm present. And then he also says when we touch and agree, it will be given to us if it's in God's will. So that's where intercession comes in, when we intercede in groups. We can touch and agree that way, but we can also touch and agree in the spirit realm. When we touch and agree in the spirit realm, that means we're all praying on the same accord. And when we pray in the same accord, guess what? Our voice is louder and it's bolder, and our cries out for our community, for our people. God hears that, and that is what he loves. That's what he was telling Ezekiel about in Ezekiel 22 and 30. He was voicing that. He didn't get wishy-washy and sugar-coated or beat around the bush. He was direct. He said, I'm looking for a people that will pray for my people, that will stand on the wall, that will actually be there to stand in the gap. And he couldn't find any. But he found some, because we're here today able to give out that word, that gospel, to let everyone know that we are called to do this. We are called to battle. Apostle Temple played that song this morning because this means war. And a few weeks ago, we talked about putting on the armor of God and booting up and getting suited because something's coming. Don't let that fall to the wayside, y'all. That word is still active. We can be interceding for each other, because another part of that prophetic word was that we continue to pray for each other in our wait, in the meantime and in between times. So as we're standing by and not having our own dilemmas or battles to fight, we are to be praying for others in the body and wherever else in the world prayer needs to be poured into, because God is pouring into his people to pray. He wants us to do that, and he gives us that divine responsibility to intercede, because we love his people as well. We are his people, but we have to grow a love for his people like he loves them. Okay, I'm moving on. I don't want to stand in one place too long, because you know how the spirit moves. And the spirit is also saying that we should also remember, take your eyes off yourself. Remember, intercessory prayer is not about you. Intercessory prayer is fixing your eyes on Jesus and knowing why he came in and stepped in and took on our sin. He stepped in the gap for a reason. Because, see, God's plan was that no man should be lost, that no soul should be lost. And Christ, he came and he did that thing by doing the most amazing the world could ever experience. And thousands of years ago to this day, it's still the most awesome thing that any one soul, any one spirit, God's spirit, could ever do for mankind. We can be redeemed, and we can actually walk in what God has for us on today, not on Judgment Day or in paradise, but on today we can be redeemed through Jesus Christ because of his sacrifice and the blood he shed on the cross for our sins. We can be redeemed, but that redemption is not for us to be selfish with. We shouldn't just be glad that we made it into the lifeboat. We need to be praying that whoever's out there in that water, that we pray them across that gap, and if we ain't rowing to them with an intercessory prayer, we can at least get to the point where we can holler encouragement. Keep coming. Keep swimming. Come on. Come on. Get in this boat. Get in Christ's boat. This is the lifeboat. And then when they do get to us, we're going to grab them and pull them in with even more intercessory prayer. And that mindset means that just because you're saved, it's not enough. We want others to be saved. We want others to be blessed with the spirit that God gives us to be able to call things as though they were. That's why we declare and decree things. That's why we're able to actually speak with the word and move with the word of God and use it as a sword to do things in the spirit that the natural will never be able to comprehend. The things of this world, we will be able to overcome it because the Spirit of God is moving through our words, through our actions, and through our hearts of being selfless. Because who was so selfless? Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was so selfless. And see, now we're moving into that same pattern. We're moving into that same prototype of who Christ was when we stand up and we pray for our people. But it's not about, well, Lord, first of all, I want to pray for myself. No, we can't start off like that. We coming to the table. We're coming to the throne, and we're asking, Lord, Father, this person needs you. That person needs you. Our people need you. Our nation needs you. Our planet needs you. So as we pray that unselfish prayer, we take our eyes off of ourselves, and we become selfless. Not self and be like, God, you know I need a new car. Lord, you know I want this job. Lord, you know I need a bigger house. No, no, no. Intercession puts all of that out of your mind and heart. Your heart goes into the direction of Christ. Your focus is on Jesus and what would Jesus do. It doesn't matter what it sounds like when we pray out loud in front of other people. It doesn't matter what it looks like to the nation. To the natural, to the unbelievers. It doesn't matter when we pray out loud in a group intercession prayer, when we have a coming together of the body and we're fellowshipping and we're going into that mindset and we're engaging with God's Holy Spirit. The prayers may not be as eloquent as other prayers, but saints, don't be afraid to pray out loud. Don't be afraid to pray out loud if you're the only one praying out loud. That's what we're about. We're going to pray in situations where nobody else may even stand up and pray. That's what intercession is about. And we can pray in a moment of something. If there is something going on out in the streets or injustice is going on, we ought to cry out right then and there on the spot. Don't wait till you get home and tell your family and friends or husband or wife, guess what I seen today? No, we're to pray on the spot. And you ain't got to mumble it inside. You can pray out loud. Even if you're alone in your car and riding by something, pray. Reach out. Cry out to God for his people. Even if it was just an accident you passed by and you have no clues in that car. My sister told me a few weeks ago how she passed an accident and had no clue until later on that day that she knew the people that passed away in that vehicle. See, we have no idea of the 6 degrees of separation we have of knowing someone. We know people and don't even realize we know people. But it doesn't matter. That could be our brothers and sisters in Christ that needed that extra prayer because nobody was praying for them. They were in the car by themselves. But we riding by and we said, Lord, Father God, whoever that is in that car, save them. Heal them. Dispatch your angels for them right now, Lord God. I speak life into that car right now, God. It looks like a bad accident, but I know you hear my prayer. So that's what intercessory prayer can be. And we can pray for our children, even if they're not our children, because that's another generation that's coming up behind us. And they may not be equipped to pray for us right now. But when we pray for those, even the children we didn't birth, we know we're doing something that's going to be a seed that's going to be planted for a new generation for tomorrow. Pray for children. That's another big deal that we have to pray about. We have to pray about our children because our children may not have the maturity or the mindset to pray for themselves, and the enemy can have his way with them. But that's why this means war. You can't have our family. You can't have our children. That's what that song is saying. We have to pray about things that we are protecting our village, our community. We are protecting our body, whether it be the babes or it be the mature elders. So as we go into intercessory prayer, remember, keep self out of it. That's not what we're about. And another thing that happens, and I'm not going to drag it out, but just remember to worship. Entering to worship can usher in intercessory prayer, and at the time that the Holy Spirit ushers in, when you're doing your worship, whether it be through music or just in silence or just you crying out to God and giving him supplication and thanksgiving, be aware that his Holy Spirit is going to dwell with you. He's going to be there, and he's going to allow you to actually feel his presence to where you can begin to intercede for others with confidence. There's nothing in the world like having a praise and worship moment, and then the Holy Spirit ushers in, and I'm just telling you right now, the tears just rolls down my face, and I know the Spirit of the Lord is here. You know that song, The Spirit of the Lord is Here? That is something else, to have that Spirit of the Lord come and usher in to whether you're alone or in the body and fellowshipping with others. But worship, the beginning, is an excellent introduction. It's an excellent invitation to God's Holy Spirit so that we can cry out in intercession. So with that being said, those are my points, and I hope that everyone had a good understanding. Sister, is there anything you want to say about some of the things that I said today? Because you know, I get riled up about intercessory prayer. That's one of my things right there, honey.
It's a beautiful thing. It's an awesome thing when you go into an intercessory knowing that the love that you have for God, that you are able to activate it, you know, to be a helpmate to someone else. It's just a beautiful thing when you fall in love with Jesus and he just starts pouring things into you. It's amazing. First of all, it's amazing. It's an amazing thing that you know that the prayers that you're throwing out is helping someone else, or it's a form of protection to that prayer. It's just that intercessory prayer is a form of protection. You are warring, like Monica said, you warring in the spirit. You fighting off of those evil diabolic spirits just trying to come and attack and do things for those that may not even have an awareness of what's going on. They don't have an awareness that you know, Satan and his imps are coming at them because it's a norm. It's a norm for them. But when God said and he chose you and say, listen, I need you to go into battle, put your war gear on. I need you to go into battle and you know, pray for this person. Stand in for this person. You're able to see those fiery dots at night. You're able to see those snakes that's hissing. You know, those scorpions that's walking around and trying to bite at your ankle. You are able to see those things and go in on behalf of the people. And I just love the fact that I'm in a church, and I mean the physical. When I say, I'm not going to say a church. I'm under a leadership of someone that's always sitting and saying to intercede, or always letting us know that prayer is the answer. It's the key. It's the key. And it is an awesome thing for your apostle or whomever, bishop, your pastor, to sit and say, I need you to be an intercessor. I need you to be on my intercession team. That's powerful. That's powerful. That means that God is sitting and saying, you are in a position where your prayers are going to get through because you're not fainting. You're not fainting. Remember when Jesus went to pray, his disciples were supposed to be up, and they were supposed to be praying too, but they went to sleep. When you went to that intercessory, it's no time to sleep, and I'm not talking about physically sleep. I'm sitting and saying that you cannot sleep in the spirit. Your spirit has to be up, alert, attentive, and ready to go into battle at any given cost, at any given time. It's pay attention.
Amen.
When God, the people that God set before him, the prophets of the old, the prophets of the new, they were there to intercede. They were there to talk to the people to let them know what God had to say. It's not just all about the prayer either. It's about you being in the spirit and speaking what God, the spoken word of what God needs to say. You have something you need to interject, sister?
I just want to remind everyone to also not just pray, but fast and pray. I forgot to tell you about the fasting, but that's all I wanted to say, sister. Remind people that we must fast and pray as well.
Well, you all got it. And we've been, ADM, this is something that we've been taught or being taught, and we've always reminded of it. When the spirit sit and say, let's go on a fast, it is brought to our attention. And it is brought to our attention because that's what the Spirit has said. Not what man has said, but this is what God wants at that present moment. And he wants us in that present moment because it might be somebody that can't get to the point where they need, it's somebody that needs some type of help, that may need God's mercy, they need his grace at that point in time. And it's not, and they just can't get to it all by themselves. So we have to go before God in a place where we are able to receive. We have to go to God in a place where our mind, our bodies, our hearts, and soul are consecrated so it can be effective. And like my sister Monica says, as always, we pray that the words that came out of our mouth is first of all acceptable to God. We pray that it's something that you can receive, understand, and apply into your life. And just know that the morning segment does not stop. God is constantly pouring in to you, me, and everybody else. And this is why you receive a double blessing. You receive a double blessing by coming in the evening time on our 8 p.m. empowerment, where we talk about these things, where we're taught these things, and able to apply these things. So I extend that welcome to you all again on this morning. And that number is 385-799-9620. 385-799-9620. You never know what to expect. You never know what the Holy Spirit is going to lead and guide. And that's one thing that I love about it. It's not scripted. It's not something that has been sat there and pre-planned, and we sit and say, this is what we're going to be doing. It's moved by the Holy Spirit. So don't come expecting that you're going to, if you're sitting there thinking, oh, I'm getting ready to go on this, and I'm going to be pounded with this and pounded with that, I'm here to tell you firsthand, the Holy Spirit is the one that orchestrated. It's orchestrated by the Holy Spirit, not man. Man is just being used. Man is just being used to be a tool, a faithful servant is being used. So you do not want to miss out on our 8 p.m. session. We pray. We just do it all. And it's a blessing. It's a blessing. Do not miss out. As we close, we ask you to die to self. and allow God's Holy Spirit to lead you and to guide you and to put you in a place where you can be used. But we know we must have a personal relationship with God. We must be fasting. We must be praying. We must consecrate ourselves, and we must be bold. You have to have boldness and confidence and not worry about what other people sit and say. Your relationship with God is so powerful and overwhelming that you don't even see the other people. All you see is God. All you feel is God. So the things that used to bother you no longer bothers you. So it makes you get up a little bit more confidence, a little bit more boldness, and you speak those things into the atmosphere. You speak them out loud so people can hear and see and know who you are. We love you. We can go on and on about this subject, but just know that we love you. We thank you for coming on this morning and being in the presence of the Lord. And we just ask you to go about today and just activate your faith and know that God is the one that does everything. He, His Holy Spirit, is the one that leads you and guides you. And do not go in a place where you're fearful, but get you some boldness about yourself. Be confident in everything that you do. And most of all, do it with love. You all have a great day. Hopefully we'll see you on the line tonight. Preferably, we'll see you on the line tonight at 8 p.m., if not tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. Be blessed. Have a great day.